We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The MPW Digital Podcast Network proudly presents McCrady and Siski, powered by Rain Total Body Fuel. Join longtime SEC beat writer Neil McCrady and former South Alabama assistant, Alabama staffer, and Ole Miss recruiting coordinator Tyler Siski for an hour of football and fun. Listen and enjoy as they talk ball, the national landscape, and much, much more. Now, here's your host, in the Clark Ford Studios, Neil McCrady.
Welcome into another edition of McCrady and Siski, presented by Rain Total Body Fuel. I'm Neil McCrady. That is Tyler Siski. Welcome into episode 53 of The Big Show.
See, I got you a present over there, too.
Oh, you did? Cherry limeade. That's what I needed. I needed a good thing. Yeah, what some people view as a meltdown is not a meltdown. It's just me trying to figure it out. Technology's hard. And what happens with me, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is exactly, but when something goes wrong, they like to blame me. And I'm like, it's not completely under my purview, you know, it's not my thing. I did the best I could.
You just give them you don't give a shit meter.
I've got to get back to that place where I just don't care what people think.
I'm pretty good at it.
You're really good at it. And if I could get back to that place, I think I would be blissfully happy.
It is. It's a lot of carefree involved.
What it does with me that's different than you, because you're able to not give a damn and also kind of be a social person.
Allegedly.
When I get that goes all the way up, I don't want to be around anybody hardly. I mean, I just don't like people. And that's not a good place to be when you do this for a living and you have to talk to a lot of people. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
The balance you have to find, it's sometimes a little difficult.
Yeah, I don't have I think I have resting asshole face. You know how they say resting bitch face? I think I have resting asshole face. I'm actually very approachable and like to drink beer and play golf, but I don't like to talk about football all fucking day, though. You know what I mean?
It's my pet peeve.
Like, that's the one thing. If I go hang out with some people that I don't know,
right?
I don't want to talk about Nick Saban. I don't want to talk about Ole Miss. I just want to fucking be there.
Well, it's like Laura will be like, hey, do you want to go? And I'm like, I don't know them. and I'm like, well, are they gonna bug me about football? Like, what's so-and-so like? I don't know. And then I'm a smartass, right?
Well, if you don't,
so if
like,
I'm around,
engage,
like,
yeah,
if I'm around dead. An insurance person, I always want to go tell me about what's going on with the latest in life insurance. Like, what are the new trends? What's happening with? Tell me about some of the auto insurance offerings you got going on there.
Yeah,
and they look at you like, man, I don't want to talk about insurance. Yeah, welcome to my world. So let's find a common ground here if we have one, and if we don't, let's just drink beer and shut up, right?
And I shouldn't say that I don't like talking about it. I just don't like talking about it all the time.
Yeah, it's because it's there's more.
Let's mix it up, man. Let's throw in some baseball every once in a while.
Well, or just other things, right? Golf. I mean, other stuff. Like,
it's probably why I like golf so much.
It probably is because it's something totally different.
Totally different, and I suck at it, but I like it.
Mention Rain Total Body Fuel, 300 milligrams of natural caffeine, BCAAs, electrolytes, zero sugar. It's got what you need to push the limits and achieve your goals. Check them out on Instagram at Rain Body Fuel to learn more. I just achieved my goal a little while ago. Got my ballot verification that I've achieved my activity goal for the day.
There you go.
Good.
Hey, well, we're talking about Rain and Monster. A few things. So Rain Tropical Storm will be coming soon. Rain actually put out a tweet the other day about a big shipment of tropical storm in this storm got sprayed across the interstate. But it'll be coming soon. And I went by Kroger today because yesterday they started rolling out the Unleash the Beast IPA yesterday. Oh, yeah? And I was going to see if the local Kroger here had it yet. They did not.
They don't have it yet.
It's coming. I know that they have it at the Publix at Tallahassee because I saw somebody post on it. I was going to bring you, when it gets to Kroger, I've already talked to my man Bob. Me and you will have an IPA live on air.
Oh, sweet. I mean, that's my wheelhouse.
I know you're fired up.
I mean.
But Unleash the Beast, the IPA, is bigger markets, I think, starting out till it gets here. It's up to the beer distributor has to do it, whoever the local one is here. But you can probably go start checking it out in your where you can buy craft beers. So in your craft beer section of wherever you go.
Yeah.
So.
Both Kroger and Larson's in Oxford have really good craft beer selections.
Okay.
For a town of Oxford size.
Oh, and speaking of that, I know Rain, since we started the show, probably about the last 4 or 5, 6 months, maybe we've done a show, trying to find a Rain anywhere close to here. It's very difficult. And Monster, literally, my man Bob took care of it. Monster sent Monster people to the local area. And they have done a great job, so let's piss them off again and let's clear out the shelves.
Absolutely,
clear out the shelves in Oxford. But they were well stocked today when I went.
So this is the cherry limeade, which is easily one of my go tos, one of my favorites. It's kind of my comfort rain.
That and Razzleberry, your two go tos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cherry limeade and Red Dragon are my two favorites.
Yeah, no, I love the Red Dragon. The Red Dragon's probably still my number one.
Yeah.
But I don't go to it all the time because, to be perfectly honest, I mean, if I have a Red Dragon at 10 in the morning, I'm good. But if I have a Red Dragon at 3, sometimes I have a hard time getting to sleep.
Yeah, I think that's anybody with a cap, you know, if you're the person that can't drink caffeine, a coffee after dinner or whatever, but for me.
It doesn't affect you.
Not even a little bit. I'm rocking. But I don't drink, and which is crazy, is I don't drink a lot of. I guess I do drink caffeine because I like unsweet tea. So I drink stuff like that. The caffeine doesn't bother me. Well, but hey, I only drink one cup of coffee.
It's not on the sheet, but someone mentioned it in the thread. Drew said he taught SEC basketball with you. Have you watched much SEC basketball?
Yeah, I love it.
So give me, if I tell you one team from the SEC makes the Final Four, who is it?
Tennessee.
I think I go Bama, but I might go Tennessee. All right, if I take...
I want to see Bama's kind of gotten a funk a little bit lately, shooting a three. Now, they didn't bother them last night.
No. They were fine. Jerry Stackhouse Tuesday. Says, yeah. Whoa, I didn't see a funk.
They were fine, but they kind of want a little weak funk. I just want to see them get out of it. But, yeah, Alabama's always there.
So, if I tell you a team...
But Tennessee can defend.
Yeah, they're really big.
And when they can shoot and defend, they're pretty dangerous.
And then they got weird last night.
Yeah.
Florida played really well. So if I tell you a team from the SEC not named Alabama, not named Tennessee, makes the Sweet 16, where do you go?
You're going to laugh at me when I tell you.
No, I won't probably because I know which one
I'd
say.
I have two, okay? But okay. My new trendy one that I'm starting to believe in a little bit is Missouri.
Oh, wow. I'm shocked.
But that's my new trendy one. But if you just put a gun to my head and say there's another one that's going to make the Sweet 16 not named, I would say Texas A&M.
That's me too. Me too.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with Texas A&M on Tuesday night in a loss. Mm-hmm. Like, I caught myself in a game where Arkansas won by 12 points, I think. I came away more impressed with A&M. Now, I said this the other day about Arkansas coming out of their game against Baylor. They did some things. Like, if I were Eric Musselman on Saturday afternoon leaving Waco – I wasn't all that upset.
Baylor's good, dude.
I would be like, yeah, and if I'm Arkansas, I would be like, I think we figured some things out tonight. And that's why I was curious to watch that game, because I was like, you know what? They kind of did some things where, like, Tarin George for Baylor is a stud. And yeah. He ultimately got the game won for Baylor in Waco. It was a really close game. And they played that game against A&M the other night. And even though I was really impressed with A&M, I mean, Arkansas obviously won, and they're starting to kind of figure it out. You know, they lost. Everybody talks about how they lost Smith. They lost Brazil.
Yeah, dude.
And Brazil was such a good player
for them. But they're figuring it out, though. You know what I mean? Like, even the other guys, I could see them doing something. The thing I always said about Missouri, though, is this: when you talk about making Sweet 16 runs, like, when you can hit the three and you can score, you can get hot. I mean, that's what, you know, when I was here the first time with Freeze and Marshall Henderson was here, right?
Yep.
Ole Miss made these tournament runs, and SEC won the tournament 1 year, I think, and, you know, started winning some games, is because when you can hit the three in the tournament, dude, they've shot the last, was it three or four games? They shot over 50% from three.
Missouri?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went to the game here. I like going, I go, if I can, if I'm not doing anything, I'll go to the games here. And, dude, they couldn't miss a shot.
Well, no, they went 16 for 31 from three. What I noticed was their ability to produce open looks from three. They weren't bad shots, right? And they were a lot of tempo, up and down. If you got a good shot, take it. Even though you're going to miss some shots when you do that. You're going to have some games that get away from you, and you're going to have some empty possession games and stuff like that. But, no, you're right. They're a team. They're one of those teams. They, A&M, probably Auburn. Auburn's got to make sure that it draws. Auburn's kryptonite in the tournament is, oh, shit, we just drew a team with big athletic guards.
Correct.
That's going to be like, damn, it's going to be hard to overcome.
Yep.
Arkansas's kryptonite is going to be, oh, God, we just got a crew that calls everything. they'll be in trouble. Missouri's kryptonite will be a team that can really defend on the perimeter.
Yeah.
That can really defend on the perimeter.
But the advantage they have is everybody on that team shoots threes.
Everybody.
I mean, they got everybody. And when you got everybody that can do it, you can extend some guys and find matchups. It's not one or two guys. They literally, every freaking dude on the team shoots threes.
What I like about A&M, and we'll get off this topic, but what I like about A&M is they can kind of beat you in a lot of different ways. They can do a lot of different things. They're not dependent. Like Arkansas, for example, is because they don't shoot it great. Arkansas is super dependent on, they've got to win the boards. They've got to dominate you on the boards. And they've got a bunch of guys that can go get boards, and they're physical down low. But, like, if they draw a team that can match up in the middle a little bit, they're in trouble, especially if that team can shoot it some.
Yep. No, I go, dude, I sit in the same place just about every time. I'm either on the floor, which I've been on the floor, I guess, once, twice this year, and then I go, I get on Game, not a sponsor, Game Time app.
Mm-hmm.
Get my dollar ticket, and you can sit anywhere you want to at this point in time of the season. I go to section 204, sit at the top of section 204 where I can see everything develop, and I like watching things develop. I like watching scheme. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I do too.
Maybe it's the press box in me.
That's why I will be I'll be thrilled when whoever it is, whether it's Kermit figuring it out, which doesn't look likely, or whoever comes in and they get relevant again. It's fun.
Yeah.
SEC basketball's fun.
I don't want
the tournament's fun.
I don't want to get on that subject, but I sure as hell like Kermit, man. He's a good dude.
Oh.
Good people.
Yeah, everybody does.
Good people.
Absolutely.
All right, you ready to roll?
Let's do it. So, Tom Brady.
We got to start with the GOAT, right?
Yeah. Tom Brady, at the age of 45, hangs it up. This time he says for good, and I think it's for good.
It's legit.
He's got a TV deal with Fox.
$375 million.
10-year deal. So he's going to make $37.5 million to talk, and no one's going to hit him.
Sign me up.
Oh. Oh, God.
And you don't even have to work all year round. You know what I mean? Like, just probably, 3 days a week maybe?
So we always say he's the GOAT.
Yep.
Is he the GOAT?
Absolutely.
He's the best to ever play?
Best to ever play the position.
What made him so great?
In my opinion, what made him great was he made himself great. And I think you can see a little bit of the common man in him a little bit. You know, was what, the 106th round, 199th pick, bad body. Nobody expected anything of the guy. He's self-made. He is the example of what hard work and dedication will get you. in life. I think he's made himself from literally nothing to being the GOAT.
You know, and you're right,
through
too.
Hard work.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this. I covered Auburn late 90s, early 2000s, and I don't remember the year, but Auburn played Michigan in what is now the Citrus Bowl. I think at that point it was called the Capital One Bowl or
99 or 2000.
Somewhere in there. And the paper sent me down a full week early. I think I went down on Christmas night. And not today. I don't dip on days that – I don't dip on Thursdays or Fridays or other days that end in day. Nothing against it. It's just never been my thing.
I'm just about to say.
But I went down and I remember going to a couple of Michigan practices, and the hype was around Drew Henson.
Yeah.
Who was a two-sport guy who at the time was about to get paid a bunch of money to go play baseball. And he and Brady sort of split reps. Mostly it was Henson, though, was predominantly the guy that got most of the reps. And I remember seeing Tom Brady as a college player in practice. He was fine. He was fine.
Yeah.
He was good. I mean, he's playing at Michigan. You don't play at Michigan unless you're pretty good, typically.
He's a good athlete. He got drafted by the Expos.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the way, the last athlete retired. Did you see that?
I did see that.
That was drafted by the Montreal Expos.
That's crazy. But, you know, I don't remember watching him in those practices or in that Citrus Bowl against Auburn and going, oh, man, that dude. And you think of the amount of work that he put in, and he probably landed in the perfect place, and then he absolutely made the most of it, and then he began to sort of revolutionize fitness for athletes, certainly for quarterbacks.
Preparation.
Preparation. The whole deal. Sleep. Everything. And, yeah, you know, he became bigger than football, obviously, and the whole thing with Giselle and all of that stuff, and him, his look changed over the years. He certainly became
thinner. Benjamin Button.
Yeah, he got better looking and better looking and younger the older he got until this past year. Right, when his personal life blew up on him and the stress took over. If you want to see how bad stress is for a human being, look at Tom Brady from August to December.
Yeah, he didn't eat well.
Stress is bad for you. But it's not, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Kobe Bryant didn't work hard, because Kobe Bryant's work was legendary.
Yeah.
But like Kobe could have not worked very hard and been a top 20 NBA player.
That's what I have a different look at when you say GOAT and greatest of all time. That's why Michael Jordan, to me, you're talking about basketball, will always go down as the greatest to ever play basketball for me. Because Michael Jordan wasn't naturally talented as those guys, as LeBron, you know, the other two that come in the conversation, which is LeBron and Kobe.
Yeah.
Those guys could not work, and they would still be elite Hall of Fame players.
Yeah, LeBron could just be your typical NBA player who puts in a typical amount of work, and he would be a top 20 player.
I mean, Michael Jordan got cut from his high school team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Tom Brady worked to be where he was at. And the other thing, when it comes to quarterbacks, is I get stats. I guess he led the NFL in passing, 4 years? I don't know how many MVPs. One played, 20-something years? He won 7 Super Bowls and played in 10. He made the people around him better. What is New England without Tom Brady? I think we're seeing it right now.
Yeah, they're just a franchise. Just an NFL team.
We're seeing it right now. They're a mediocre NFL football team.
Yeah, they're just a team.
All right? He immediately goes to Tampa Bay. Before he got there, what were they? They were just a football team. Matter of fact, I don't think they made the playoffs the year before he gets there. And he goes and wins a Super Bowl and makes them immediate contender once he gets there. And that's on the tail end. You're getting his scrubs. You're getting what's left. I mean, you're getting the bottom of the barrel, Tom Brady. He still wins a Super Bowl and makes you competitive every year. And that's what, for me, he's the best that ever played the game. Now, are there people that are more talented? Absolutely. Like if you said, hey, who would I take from a talent standpoint, the greatest talent of all time? I'd take an Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh. I'm trying to think. The first two names that came to mind when you said that were John Elway.
Dan Marino.
And Dan Marino.
I wasn't in the study mode. And all
right,
that stuff
right.
And I'm talking about the modern era,
yeah,
I guess.
Rodgers. Yeah,
Dan,
sure.
I mean, if you could say talent, I mean, you could probably say Marino probably is probably the most talented to ever throw a football. Elway had a strong arm, but Marino had everything. Accuracy and just never, but he's never considered the great greats because he never won a Super Bowl.
No, he went to one Super Bowl
and lost his rookie year. So, but anyway, long story short is, I think he's the greatest to ever play. He did it was up top a long time, made the people around him better for a long time. I mean, dude, the guy played in 10 Super Bowls and won 7 of them. Think about that.
It's remarkable. Ronnie in the thread says, what if
that's my guy, Ronnie Williams.
What if Bledsoe never gets hurt?
That's my we coached baseball together, by the way.
Yeah, I knew it was. There's two what ifs that are interesting with Tom Brady. And what ifs, you could do these with so many people, right? What if Magic Johnson wasn't a Laker right out of the gate? Would he have been as good as he was? There's lots of what ifs. But the two what ifs with him are, what if Bledsoe doesn't get hurt?
Right.
And then what if they don't call the tuck rule? And the Patriots lose that game, and the Raiders win it. Do the Patriots take off on that? And you'll just never, we'll never know. That's what makes sports fun, right? Is what if here's, you know, we could do, like, people always do the Saban thing. What if the Dolphins, instead of their.
What if Rich Rod took the Alabama job?
Well, yeah. What if the Dolphins medical people, instead of flagging Drew Brees, go, yeah, sign him. Let's do it.
He's still pissed about that, by the way.
I'm sure he is, because he probably never coaches at Alabama. He goes on a 10-12 year run in Miami with Drew Brees, and the Saints aren't the New Orleans Saints anymore. The Saints are the San Antonio Saints. I mean, there's so many ifs that if you could do this across the board, it actually would be a fun exercise sometimes.
Some people say if ifs and nuts were candy and if ifs and buts were candy nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
That is correct.
You know what I like to say?
What's that?
If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Well, that is true. And in today's political climate.
Quite possible.
Actually, you know, if your aunt just identified as your uncle, she would be. It's as simple as that.
This episode brought to you by the Biden administration. Biden-Harris 2024. Oh, that's good shit. Oh,
I mean, right. Doesn't technically have to have anything. Say she is.
Stop before we get going. But no, I think.
I mean, if you think you're a woman, I mean, what is a woman after all?
It's my fault. I started it. It's my fault.
I mean, if you think you menstruate, you probably do.
You're killing me, dude.
Sorry.
All right, so to answer my man Ronnie's question, I think not only with Bledsoe getting hurt, I don't know if that would have happened with another organization at the place where they were at. You know, you had Belichick early in his days. Kraft was a relatively new owner in the league. I think that they were trying to mix some things up. I think if you were at a more stable organization, they would have gone back to the guy. There's some organizations that would have not.
Yeah, of course.
That was a different time.
Of course.
It's not like today where you can just go – Jimmy G, Trey Lance.
If Kobe Bryant stays with the Hornets or the Bobcats or whatever they were at the time, is he the same guy? I have no idea.
Right.
You know, what happens if Michael Jordan never retires? Does he win 9 or does he burn out? Who knows? Like, what happens if Patrick Mahomes gets drafted by the Bears?
Bears would still suck.
Well, a lot of people think the Bears would still suck. And so would we view Mahomes the way we view him? Because I don't know that he would have taken the Bears to 5 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of what ifs in sports that are fun. It's one of the things that makes sports fun.
All right.
What if Steve Bartman leaves his hands off the damn ball?
I was knew it was coming that sooner.
You know? I mean, Moises Alou catches it. The Cubs win in 2003, and then maybe there's no pressure, and they go out and win in 2004 too. And then who knows? I mean, like, we're having a totally different conversation.
What if I was 6 foot tall?
I mean, just think of the.
I'd still be playing
instead of instead of sitting on the bench at Auburn. You maybe you set all the Auburn records, right? You
would have played for a while. All right, so we kind of left it off last week. We were talking about D'Amico Ryans and that he was going to get offered the Broncos job, and within the hour of that was very unique timing. We have a little source off between Adam Schefter and I always pronounce it Schefter.
And Schefter.
Schefter. Where do I get an N from?
I don't know.
Adam Schefter and
Can you name
Ian
the
Rappaport.
City right there?
Is that that looks like Chicago?
That is San Francisco.
I guess. Okay, I'm terrible.
There you go.
Never been to San Francisco.
Oh, you've never been?
No.
Yeah.
And Ian Rappaport about what really happened, and I love Schefter.
Okay.
Did that on purpose.
They're having an argument about what really happened with D'Amico Ryans.
Yes.
New coach of the Houston Texans.
D'Amico Ryans. People, if you have any common sense, you know the truth of the story. Just have common sense.
Okay.
What is Sean Payton? If Sean Payton didn't have all this, have to give up the Saints, have to get all the draft picks and everything else in exchange, Sean Payton would have been the first coach off the board. Let's don't make any mistake about that. He's the best available option.
Sure.
It's just what you had to give up to get him.
Of course.
D'Amico Ryans likes Texas. Houston, because that's where he played.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the owner, all that stuff. He decided he wanted to go there, and so after going, Denver went to Ann Arbor to see Jim Harbaugh.
Yes.
They went to his house.
Correct.
A little over a week ago.
Right.
They went to their next option and said, hey, we lost who – they kind of had it narrowed down. They were all in on D'Amico Ryans.
That is correct.
All right? That is
I know.
That's fact. They were all in. As of our episode, whatever, that was last Thursday, right?
That's correct.
All in. They did not get him. They panicked. They had one choice left because nobody else wanted to give up everything for Sean Payton. Sean Payton was going to be back at Fox. To the point, if you watch the show, the pregame show on Sunday, Sean Payton thought he was going to be back on Fox next year too. Well, when D'Amico Ryans, after the game, decides he's going to go to Houston, he's back in the ballgame. So they give it up. And when I say they gave it up, they gave it up.
First round pick.
How about this? For Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, if you're a Broncos fan, for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, you've given up three first rounds, three second rounds, a fifth round. You've given up Drew Lock. You've given up Noah Fant. And you've given up the D lineman. Is it Shelby Harris or whoever it is? They've given up three quality players. And seven draft picks, three first and three second for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. Do you know what you could get?
So
the Falcons could get Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid for three first and three second.
All right. I think the Broncos very clearly made a mistake. The question I have is, did Sean Payton make a mistake? I mean,
no.
He's getting a lot of money, and he wants to coach.
Yeah, no, Sean Payton. Let me tell you, and I will say this.
But are they doomed?
Because I don't know.
Can he get anything out of Russell Wilson that?
All right, so here's the thing, right? That's a lot to give up. First of all, the mistake I don't think was made with Sean Payton. The mistake was made with Russell Wilson.
Agreed.
That contract is so big that they can't get rid of Russell Wilson. Okay. That ain't happening. He's yours for a while. So you got two choices. I think it's actually smart on their part a little. Now, I don't like that you had to give up all that. If anybody on this planet can get Russell Wilson to play, it's going to be Sean Payton. If anybody left on this planet can get him to play,
sure,
it's him. So it's almost like it sucks that you gave up that much, and it does. That sucks. That's a lot. But it's the only way you can save your franchise at the same time. Does that make sense?
It does.
So, and D'Amico Ryans going to Houston, I think that was really smart on his behalf. Okay, picking them over the Broncos, and this is why. One, he could have pretty much picked where he wanted to go this year. His name was super hot. But knowing the owner and playing there and all that stuff, they're going to give him a little bit more time. They're not going to do the, it didn't work in year one, pull the rug out from underneath you. They're going to give him time, knowing the owner and that relationship. He will have every opportunity to make that work. Does that make sense?
Yes. He's incredibly highly thought of.
Yeah. Allen, I understand you can't get Patrick Mahomes. I was trying to make a joke. But I don't know, man. I'm interested in this Broncos thing because at the same time, you got the guy that can – because their defense is legit now. The Broncos have a defense. If Sean Payton can get it going, they will be successful, but it's going to be very tough to build an organization with no draft picks. You're going to have to do it all through free agency, and now you got cap issues, right?
Yeah.
They're going to end up
– although they are expanding the cap, so this is going to free some money up.
They are, but not a lot.
Yeah, which means guys are going to ask for more too.
$20 million maybe they're adding to it.
Something like that.
It's up to $220, whatever it is. Yeah. But anyway. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, Jimmy G, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Shanahan, I love him saying this. He just said he was asked a direct question. He gave a direct answer. He was asked, do you see any scenario with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back to San Francisco next year? He said no.
All right.
And he's 100% right. And I don't understand why people can't get around this. Jimmy G is a free agent. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think he was making around $9 million this year. I think that was his contract number. I looked it up last week. I think it's 6 or 9, somewhere around there. You have Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. They're on rookie deals. Like, Brock Purdy's making $1 million total.
Yeah.
$1 million.
Yeah.
Why would you go pay a guy that's probably not going to be your starting quarterback $9 million when you got two rookies on rookie deals, and they can take that money? And they're close now. I'm going to be real with you, Eagles fans. I'm going to be real with you.
2 years in a row, they're in the NFC title game.
They'd be in the Super Bowl today if Brock Purdy doesn't get hurt.
I'm going to let you handle this. Say it again.
Eagles fans, I like the Eagles players. I have players and people on the staff that I like. I can't stand the fans. That's the most obnoxious fan base on the planet. We didn't go and just, hey, we kicked the shit out of everybody and we're here. They play a freaking the Giants, man. They play the Giants. Congratulations. You get to go play. It's Neil told me to tell you all this. But you're playing a team that their quarterback gets hurt on the third play. If Brock Purdy does not get hurt, you are not in the Super Bowl. Period. The 49ers are a better football team. So I guess you want to know who I'm picking for the Super Bowl to win. I don't even like the Chiefs either, but I like them this week. I can't pull for the Eagles. It drives me nuts, man. I don't know. The most obnoxious fan base on the planet. All right. Speaking of obnoxious.
Yeah.
Have you taken a peek at the Pro Bowl rosters?
No. It's a flag football game and a dodgeball game.
There used to be like some street cred when you said, man, he was a Pro Bowler. You used to kind of like, in your baseball, he was an All-Star.
Yeah, sure.
Basketball, he's an All-Star.
Sure, still is.
Well, the NFL used to be he was a Pro Bowler. Tyler Huntley is now a Pro Bowl quarterback that threw 2 touchdowns and for 600 yards this year.
Mm-hmm. They were both beautiful throws. Beautiful throws.
The backup quarterback.
I mean, no, they were gorgeous. The ball spiraled.
The backup quarterback.
No, I don't want to hear it. In the wind.
For the Baltimore Ravens
into the wind.
When you go and Wikipedia this guy because you can't remember who he was 4 years from now, and you go in his Wikipedia.
What did Tyler Huntley do to you?
It's going to say Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah. What did he do to you?
He didn't do anything to me.
Two beautiful passes into the wind.
But we got Derek Carr. Okay.
Against NFL defenses.
Derek Carr doesn't even have a team right now. He's a man without a team. Like, what logo is he wearing?
Taxi squad wide receivers.
Like, he's not playing for them anymore. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Both arms broken.
Trevor Lawrence, who 99% of the people on this planet thought he sucked.
A ruptured spleen.
5 weeks ago, is a Pro Bowl quarterback.
On one knee. He did all this. Tyler Huntley.
It's unbelievable, dude. But I don't know, man. I just...
Tyler Huntley. Put some respect on his name.
I can't do it. It's like, and I get that. I understand that football's different. You can't play a full game like you... I mean, people are so worried about getting hurt now and all that stuff.
Why can't you just have an all-pro team and not have a Pro Bowl? Do you have to have a Pro Bowl?
That's my point. Just name an all-star team. It's like, you don't have a Pro Bowl in college football. Just name a All-American team, name a Pro Bowl team, your first team All-American, whatever you call it.
Sure.
You win the Heisman Trophy. Or you don't have a quarterback competition between all the Heisman Trophy candidates.
No.
Just go call it what you call it. But it's people are pulling out because they don't want to get hurt. And this Derek Carr thing, now that's interesting.
Because if he gets hurt.
Have you heard this?
Yeah, it's $40 million the Raiders would have to pay if he were to like blow his, suffer a career-ending injury dodgeball.
Dude, I'm out there like cutting hard. I'm not taping ankles, man. I mean, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
But, he'd make more than 40 on the open market. He's going to get a deal.
Yeah, he's getting a deal. I would imagine he's going to get some kind of trade deal probably next 2 or 3 weeks. I bet it's done either before the Super Bowl or shortly after. I think he'll get a deal, Derek Carr.
Yeah, because, look, the fact that Tyler Huntley is in the Pro Bowl tells you how valuable quarterbacks are in the NFL. It's a quarterback league.
All right, Reg Size Brand brought it up. I was going to not talk about this, but this was a hot topic in my office earlier in the week.
Okay.
Was people are questioning Brock Purdy's toughness.
He tore the UCL. Guys, what's he going to do?
He tore his UCL. He could not feel his hand, okay? Could not feel it. And for somebody that's had nerve damage in their hand before,
yes,
it will come back. But it's not coming back 5 minutes after you injured it. Like, it's.
Well, he tore it completely. He wasn't going to be able to.
He couldn't throw. It hurt to throw a screen pass. He tried to throw a screen, and he's like, it hurt. I mean, like, you can't.
Come on.
Like, look, that's stupid. You can't. He's not the only one, though. Reg Size Ben, you're not the only one. We had a whole debate, and I was very upset. Like, oh, he's soft and this and that.
Well, he put the sarcasm thing. The slash S means he's being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know the slash S, what that meant. I guess I'm old man yelling at cloud. But it was a hot topic in my office this week, Monday morning, about him being soft. You know who you are, and you're probably not listening, but I will make sure you listen to this part.
No, come on. Not soft at all.
No. I mean, it's a...
Just totally changed the game.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't do anything. And, dude, I'm telling you, if Brock Purdy does not get hurt, they win that football game. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong for them. Warner's shoulder comes out in the second play of the game. He came back in and played, but he dislocated his – he has separated his shoulder, put it back in place, and came back in. And Bosa gets rolled up on the sideline coming out for the second drive.
Yeah.
You know, and just –
wasn't their day.
It was like bam, bam, bam. I mean, it was just like – I mean, it is what it is, but – anyway.
Well, once the NFL figures out who they want to win the Super Bowl, they'll go from there.
So are you on team fixed or not team fixed?
Fixed is too strong.
I know you were upset Sunday when we
fixed
talked.
Is too strong.
You seen all this Arian Foster stuff?
Yeah. I mean, that's silly.
It can't be fixed. There are too many people would have to know.
Fixed is too strong. Do I think that there was a favorable whistle that went way favorable? I do.
I think in my opinion, this is what I think is happening. Do I think the penalties that were called were penalties? I do. But I also think those penalties also occurred where the other team had the ball or were involved.
Well, on Mahomes' run, there's two blatant holds.
Yeah.
On the punt, there's a block in the back.
Yeah.
Now, you don't punt the ball where he can return it. Because it's a bad punt.
Correct.
They couldn't block Chris Jones. At the end of the day, they couldn't block Chris Jones.
Correct.
That was the biggest problem they had.
And they had me and you playing off the offensive line.
And they just couldn't block him. Had they blocked him, we're probably having a completely different conversation. But like the grounding call on Burrow was probably a good call. But if you're going to call the call on Burrow, you got to call the call on Mahomes when he grounds the ball. You call the late hit on Mahomes, which was a good call. But earlier, and it didn't matter because they ended up scoring, but at the 2-yard line, there was a late hit on one of the Bengals receivers, completely out of bounds.
Well, Burrow got hit late, and they call it.
Burrow got pushed down to the ground, and someone goes, well, he wasn't pushed very hard. You can't touch him. After he throws it, you can't go step, step, push.
Of all of the roughing the passer shit that we've seen this year, and we're not going to call that.
So at some point, you go, kind of feels one-sided.
Yeah, and I don't think...
And listen, there's this narrative that's been established about Mahomes and he's playing on one ankle. Oh, my God. Not the first player in the world to play with a sprained ankle. Come on, stop.
Can I say something, though?
Yeah.
He did. He bought me. He bought some brownie points from me, man.
Burrow had a better quarterback rating.
No, I'm just talking about just going, just showing up to play. I'm not talking about his performance.
Sure.
That was, a lot of people would have said no.
Name one elite quarterback that would have said no.
Well, you said that. You
Lamar
said that.
Jackson.
TikTok like that, like your take on Lamar Jackson, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you're TikTok famous right now.
Oh, I should tell them.
They said you're right. They
should
were,
tell my girls.
Yeah, you're TikTok famous.
I don't even remember what I said.
It was like, because we didn't do a show Monday, so he recycled or something. We were talking about Lamar, moving on for Lamar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they love you.
They should.
They should. But there's
a great, not working, great example.
That's a great example, though.
Right.
I mean, there are people that won't play with that.
Yeah.
And he's a $450 million man, whether he plays or he doesn't. And he bought some brownie points of me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
he missed, and a lot of the throws that he missed were because he couldn't drive off. You know,
right? Sure.
And I call bullshit on this. Let me tell you what I call bullshit on is him saying he didn't take a shot. He may have not taken a shot and taken some pills. There's a 0% chance that dude was out there playing without some kind of feel good juice.
And that's kind of the narrative I'm talking about. They're wanting to make this out to be some super Herculean deal, and he took a shot and it's cool. Whatever.
Here's my problem. This is why I have come across the other side of it, though. I realized that my hate and my despise for Patrick Mahomes was because of his brother and his wife. In social media.
Because they're horrible.
Okay.
They're horrific people.
Like, makes me cringe.
Yeah.
But you know what I realized? I don't remember who told me this week or last week, where it was. They said, you know, you realize the reason you don't like this guy is because of other people around him. I said, you know what? You're right. He's never really done anything he hasn't done anything but the right stuff for me to like him. It's the other people around him. Like, dude, when his brother did the TikTok dance on...
Well, even his dad with the thing about the cigar, smoking the cigar on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's never said one negative word about Patrick Mahomes.
I can't...
they're just generating all this BS hate.
Yeah.
They're full of it.
Yeah. But look, he is legit, man. I'm a fan of him. I'm not a fan of everybody around him. I'm trying to change my perspective. So.
Well, unlike you, I won't watch it. But Philly, if I did watch it, I would wear green and cheer for you guys the whole game. I'm not watching. Good luck to you, but no thanks.
All right, click it on me. Hey, Philly, I will be watching, and I will not be wearing green because you have the most obnoxious fan base in the history of organized sports. There you go.
All right, Drew, I'm so glad you said this because it's one of my pet peeves. If you're not a journalist covering a team, you literally can't be a homer.
No.
To be a homer, you have to be in journalism covering a specific team.
Gotcha.
And if you cover that team, like if I cover the Braves,
right,
and I'm Yahoo all the time,
yep,
I am Team Acuna, all that stuff, right? I'm a homer.
Right.
You can be a homer or a hater. And there's both in all sorts of media. There's media I won't name him, but there's a guy that covered the Cubs who was really anti-Cub. He was more anti the organization than he was the team, but he got known as a hater. But he had to cover the Cubs to be called a hater. You got to be to cover the Cubs. If you cover the Cubs and you're cheering for the Cubs, you're a homer. But if you're just a person who doesn't, I don't cover the NFL.
Right.
So I can't be a homer by definition. I don't cover the teams.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
It does.
And if you're a fan in the real world, it's impossible for you to be a homer because you don't have a press credential.
Very good.
My whole thing.
So what you're saying is by rule, I could never be a homer of anybody.
You're not a homer.
Ever.
You're not in the media. You're a fan.
I'm a fan.
Or
not a fan.
Or you're not a fan. That word gets used. It drives me insane. Like my whole thing was with.
I thought you were a homer of Arkansas.
I can't be – well, so hold on. Hold on. No. If I cheered for Arkansas
– Rage.
If I cheered for Arkansas, I would be kind of a homer because I do cover that league.
Okay.
I cover that division. So I do cover Arkansas.
You would identify as a homer?
I would kind of be a quasi-homer, yeah.
A quasi-what?
Homer. ER. ER.
I just got lightheaded.
But no, I mean, no. Doing what I do, if I cheered for or against Arkansas, that would be wrong.
Okay.
If I cheer for them or against them in a game involving a team that I cover. So if I'm at an Ole Miss Arkansas game and I cheer for one team over the other, I don't need to be there. That's the way I view it. The way I view journalism. If I'm at an Ole Miss,
you're definitely in the minority, right?
Big time. But if I'm at a game that I'm covering, if I'm covering an Ole Miss game, if I'm cheering for Ole Miss or against Ole Miss, I got to check myself. I got to go, hey, hold up. Why are you emotionally into this? You shouldn't be emotionally into this. I view my job, if I'm doing my job correctly, my pulse doesn't change. If a team goes, Ole Miss and Auburn go to overtime, my pulse is exactly the same. I don't care.
Yep.
Because that enables me to assess what I saw, talk to the people involved, and write something about it without having to go like, and there are people in SEC press boxes who, when their team loses, they literally can't write for 2 hours because they're so emotional.
Yep.
So my whole thing was always been with those people, like when they cheer in the press box, I'm like, you can go cheer, but get the hell out of here first. Take off your press credential and go be a fan. And that's fine. Go be a fan. But once you go over there and be a fan, you don't get to put the press credential back on and come back in to team objectivity. It doesn't work like that. Figure it out. And so I've always gotten this question, like, could you cover the Cubs professionally? And my answer is twofold. The first thing I'd have to decide is, could I stop being a fan?
We'll take you on the Braves. Let's go.
Okay.
You become a Braves fan.
But if I covered Major League Baseball, I couldn't cheer for a team, yeah. Right? So I'd have to be able to say, okay, can I put that away? Like, for good, can I put it away? And if the answer is no, then I can't take the job. And if the answer is yes, then I have to turn around and go, but is that something I want to do? Do I want to give up something that I've always cheered for? It's been a part of my identity. But I wouldn't take a Major League Baseball beat unless I was convinced, and it's too old, I'm too old now, but I wouldn't do it if I wasn't convinced that I'd be able to leave that. Leave it for good. Burn it.
That's fair. finishing up what I was talking about, because somebody brought it up in the chat. What I'm saying is that when it goes back to the officiating, I think the biggest problem that we have in officiating right now is officials are getting caught up in the emotion of the games. Like, example, like if you see,
yep,
like you got 70,000 people in the stands that are ripping and roaring, and the fans think it's pass interference, and they start going, ooh, like you see the late flags. You see things.
You're starting to see things in NFL that you normally see in college basketball, where it's so hard to win a game on the road in college basketball if two teams are even, because the home team in a packed arena gets calls.
Yeah.
Because the officials kind of fall victim to it.
Especially charging and blocking, right?
Yeah, charges, blocks.
You know, anything. Yeah. You know,
contact. I mean,
any kind of contact.
LeBron James didn't get a call the other night in Boston that he should have gotten. I mean, he went ballistic, and he should have. But, I mean, LeBron James, that same play, the exact same play happens in Los Angeles. That's a foul.
Correct. Because they get caught up in the emotion of the game. And here's, in my opinion, why I think that they're really, really, really good. And I think this is it starts with the NFL, all right? I think TV got smart about 5 or 10 years ago, probably about more or less than 5 years ago, and they started hiring all these really, really good officials, a lot of white hats, start going to work for networks and work for things like that where they get paid more money and don't have to be involved in that stuff. Well, what happens is now you get a guy that's not ready that goes into the white hat. Well, then the people, what position he was, you're getting the good college officials are now going to the NFL. And so it's just a big filter, right? And the next thing is who wants to be an official? Like, who wants that life? Be gone, you know, 180 days a year that you're not home and you're not getting partly paid anything. Oh, and by the way, all you're going to do is if you do your job really good, we won't talk about you.
Right.
I mean, you're like a professional offensive lineman, a professional kicker. If you do your job really well, we don't talk about you. The first mistake you make, you're getting criticized. I mean, who wants that life?
Well, that's what I was saying about the Bengals game the other night, is a game that was that entertaining. I don't know how good the game was. because it was kind of a weird game, right? Mahomes wasn't completely on his game. The Bengals offense was very had a hard time establishing anything because they couldn't block. But it was an entertaining game. You want that game to end in a way that you're not talking about officiating.
Right.
You want to talk about
but it's bad.
Who made a play.
Yeah, it's bad, and it's not.
But when everybody's talking about officiating, it was about officiating.
Yeah.
And when it's about officiating, that's not good. I mean, hey, I wasn't the only one. I mean, they showed a picture of Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach, 3 seconds left, and I don't think he realized or wasn't thinking or didn't give a damn that he was on camera, but he was talking into his headset, and he goes, it's rigged. Now, that's emotional.
Yeah, that's emotional. That's emotional. I do not think it's rigged.
I don't either. But when a coach thinks that enough to say it out loud, yeah, right there, it's emotional.
Sometimes you say things in the heat of the moment as coaches that don't. I mean, dude, I've gotten into with good friends talk really bad to them in the heat of the moment in a game that, yeah, I wouldn't take the anything that happens in between the game. You should be by the court of law, not be held accountable to. All right, you ready to get into this fun discussion that our good friend opened up for discussion this week?
I do, but first I want to tell you we're brought to you by Walk-On Sports Bistro. They've got everything. They put everything they've got into bringing you game day with the taste of Louisiana. Dig into their mouth-watering, made-from-scratch Louisiana cuisine like po' boys, gumbo, voodoo shrimp, plus fan favorites like juicy burgers and fresh salads, all in front of 70-plus TVs, 40-plus ice-cold beers on tap. Check them out in Oxford or Ridgeland or wherever you have a local walk-ons. But if you're in Oxford or you're in Ridgeland there in the Jackson area, please make sure that you tell them how much you appreciate them sponsoring this show and all of our MPW digital programming. We're also brought to you by our friends at Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. We'll have a hand raised, guys, tonight. It is pre-recorded, but it's good.
What do you got?
Got Hugh Kellenberger.
Yeah, I know Hugh.
Yeah, Hugh in charge of all college basketball coverage, mm-hmm, for The Athletic. He's going to talk college basketball. And then Cole Patterson with Rivals.com is going to come on with me. Going to tape here about 2 hours with Cole. So we'll bring that to you. That's brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, but the same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Batesville, Tupelo, that area, call the people at Comer, 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, South Haven, Olive Branch, that area, call the people at Southern. They'll take care of you really well. 662-429-4429.
I like the new graphics you got up here on the screen, dude, for the live stream.
Well, we're working at it.
Look at you, man.
Working at it. Trying to.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Like the background.
Just trying to make it better. Trying to enhance the viewing experience for all of our 7 fans.
Yeah. Well, we'll piss them off in a minute. So we'll be down to my mom will listen. Mom and dad, we always have 2.
My mom will listen too.
Oh, so we got 3.
And my dad listens.
That's 4.
That's 4. How many you need?
That's it. It's only people matter. All right, so I'm going to skip over my – the only thing I'm going to say, I am not going to skip over this either.
Okay.
Jaden Rashada, Arizona State. You see that?
I did.
I am what's the right words I want to say here?
I don't know.
When you go act like a freaking buffoon and you throw all your business out on Front Street that you're not going to get your $13 million and you want to take your ball and go home, I'd be interested to see what this NIL deal looks like with Arizona State. He probably lost about $5 million because he wanted to be emotional. Because there's what's guaranteed and there's what's worked for.
I feel like for me to completely pass judgment one way or the other.
I want to see what this Arizona State deal is.
Well, I'd also like to know the details of what actually was agreed to with Florida. And I don't know. And I'd like to know.
I will say this. I don't know the exact amounts that were agreed to, but to my understanding, and that's why before you make an opinion on something, you need to know both sides. I feel like I have enough of the side to formulate my own opinion to where I kind of get where I'm going at.
Okay.
I think there was a number that was guaranteed coming from the collective.
Right.
And the other amount of money was coming because of things he was going to have to work for.
Okay.
Okay. Just like every other NIL deal that's out there. The collective gives guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All these packages you see are, hey, look, you come here, we'll get you this deal, da-da-da-da-da, it's worth this amount of money, but you got to go do this.
Here's
this,
where
this,
the
this
confusion
for.
Comes.
He wanted it all guaranteed.
Here's where the confusion comes is that by the letter of the law, the rules, right, none of it can be performance-based.
Correct.
Well, let me just go ahead and break it to people. Most of these damn deals are performance-based.
Because you're not going. Nobody's going to want to market you if you don't perform.
Right.
And that's where the money's coming from.
But when you – this is my problem, okay? This is – I don't really have a big problem with a lot of stuff, and you and I are about to have a conversation in a minute where I'm going to have to play devil's advocate because I basically agree with you, which would make for a boring show if I went, you're right, Tyler. So I'll play the other side in a minute. This part is with me what bugs me because the fans hear one thing and the kids do too. And the fans hear, well, none of it can be performance based, but it's all performance based. The kids hear, it can't be performance based. It's all, well, of course it's performance based.
You wouldn't mean be in the conversation of getting money if you weren't a good performer.
But why say it's not performance based? Why do we have to do the dog and pony show?
100% agree.
See, my thing is this.
I can't argue.
I have one of the things you're going to say in a minute, I completely agree with. I'm going to argue against it
for
kicks and giggles. But one of the things that I've been saying all along, and people push back on me, they're like, oh, but they're kids. Transparency. Transparency. We know what Brock Purdy makes a year.
Yeah.
We're about to find out what Joe Burrow makes a year. We know Deshaun Watson's deal. We're about to, like, Dansby Swanson signs with the Cubs. It was 7 years, $177 million.
I know why it's not transparent, but I do agree with you.
But my thing is, if it were even slightly more transparent today than it is, there might be less weirdness about it.
The reason it's not, so the fans, I know you and I both know, but the reason, if the fans are wondering why it's not transparent, the reason that your NIL deals aren't transparent is because these collectives don't want their competition to know what they have in their war chest, okay? It's this big secret that they don't want to know because, and then look, I'll tell you.
And then they start bragging about it, though. Look at Ole Miss. I mean, I'm not picking on Ole Miss.
But I bet you it's not, that number that you hear is not the actual number. It may be more, maybe less.
Right.
But I bet it's not the real number. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's going to say, hey, we got $9,546,033 going into this. No, because
well, sure,
sudden,
because like before the season, the Cubs had money to spend, but Jed Hoyer, the Cubs general manager, didn't want to come out. Actually, he's their president, and Carter Hawkins is their general manager, but whatever. They didn't want to come out and go, hey, so what we have available to spend on the free agent market is $217.6 million. They didn't
right.
They didn't want agents to know that.
Correct.
They didn't want the Cardinals to know that, the Mets
it's
to know that.
It's a negotiating tool, and it's a, yeah.
But when the deal gets done, the contract is out there. Like the Cubs couldn't hide Swanson's deal. Once they did it, it was done. When the Mets did that remarkably stupid deal that pissed off all of baseball – with Carlos Correa, the terms were out there.
Yeah.
There is transparency. And with the college game, there is no transparency. And so you've got fans don't, like, what did they get? Did they spend? What did they? And I understand all those questions. And then you have the kids that are coming through, and you know this to be true. And it's not even the kids. It's these horrific, God, you 7-on-7 handler people are the worst people on earth. You are horrific people. Shame on you. My God.
Don't get me started.
You're predators. You are literally predators. You are one big thing, but one thing from being complete criminal predators. You're horrific human beings. Shame on you. And then you get on Twitter and you act like you're altruistic. Go cut yourself. You are horrific.
This episode brought to you by the Biden administration.
My God.
Biden-Harris 2024. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with you. The only thing that they could do about that, which I don't care about the NIL stuff. Like, NIL's been around a long time. We just started calling it NIL or pay for play or whatever recently. It's been around a long time. All right, so what I want to start with this thing is, and I'm glad he did, because the conversation has to be out there for this to get fixed. And we've talked about it a little bit, but I want to talk about the portal and how to fix this mess we're in. And so I wrote some notes down there. I want to go back in time a little bit. Okay. And I want to explain, cause there's so much misinformation. And the problem is the people who are making the rules now, they were not around doing this when
I'm listening
all
to
this
you, by the
out.
Way. My daughter's running into some traffic stuff and
oh, you're good.
And she's on her way home. And so
oh, you're good.
Instructing her, but I'm listening.
I'll explain how it started. So the fans know in 2018 is when the transfer portal started. Okay. Not immediate eligibility, the transfer portal started. The reason you hear the word portal is because of this. Kids would want to transfer. You know, before 2018, if a kid wanted to transfer, you would come to the coach, okay, I want to transfer, whatever, and the coach had and the school had to release the player, all right? Like, sign a freaking document, release the player. But a part of that release is they could say, hey, I'm going to release you to all schools except for school XYZ. They
right.
could put stipulations on it to prevent you from transferring to a school.
Oftentimes it was within the conference.
Within the conference or mm-hmm. a rival like Clemson, South Carolina or something
right.
like that, right? So,
right?
And usually it was somebody on your future schedule. That's how basically the rule worked. Or
right.
most coach schools did it, right?
It's kind of an unwritten rule.
Right.
Right.
But they would stipulate those schools in there. Well, all of a sudden the kids didn't think that was fair. And the NCAA didn't think that was fair. So what they did is they came up with a transfer portal that basically took those restrictions out of the school's hands, and you were open to everybody. Okay, that's how the portal, but you still had the same transfer rules.
Still had to sit a year.
If
it's one of the reasons you had 5 to play 4.
Yes, and if you went down a year, if you went down a class, so if you went from FBS to FCS or
below,
you could play right away.
Right.
All right. So
because if you left Alabama from McNeese,
You could go play. All right.
Right.
So that's how it started, okay? Where I am very passionate about this and where I get very frustrated about this. I'm passionate. I'm frustrated. The reason that I am about this particular subject, and it's something that I spent a lot of time on. You can call it what you want to. I was very fortunate enough, or I guess not fortunate enough, to be asked about the portal before it started and what I thought about it and things like that. And I met with the NCAA on this subject. All right. They came to Oxford, Mississippi. I sat myself and Matt Luke sat in the office with them and went over things. And I literally said in that meeting, I said, there's nothing wrong with the portal and your idea of the portal. I think that's great. I think that should be done. I think that's fair. I said, however, what you can never do with the portal ever is grant immediate eligibility. I said those words face to face, less than 5 feet away.
Right. Because if the kid at South Carolina truly wants to transfer to Clemson or vice versa, if he truly wants to, the sitting out a year, that'll be something he's willing to do. But if you tell a kid who's just kind of whimsical about it, whimsical is not the right word, just kind of flipping about it, hey, you're going to have to sit a year. they're going to reconsider, at least for a minute, and make sure that's indeed what they want to do.
Correct. And then here's what I stated when I said this. And I said, one, this is my favorite part. I said, it's going to take you 5 years to figure out that you have a problem. I said, then it's going to take you another 5 years to figure it out. What year are we in, Neil?
Well, you're in year five, and you were right on that one. And on the second part, Tyler, I think you're wrong. Now, I think you're right, but I think you're wrong. Here's where you and I disagree. I agree with you completely. But I said this morning on the Oxford Exxon podcast, so I'm going to repeat it for those who didn't listen. I think the genie's out of the bottle.
That's fair.
Okay? The genie's out of the bottle, and she got freedom, buddy.
Okay. I got a question for you, though.
She got freedom. She's out of the bottle. She's gone down Michigan Avenue, and she's bought her some fancy new clothes, and she's found a couple of places that serve the best Cosmo in the world, and she's found a SoulCycle or a Peloton or whatever, and she's got her spin class that she loves and a yoga class that she loves, and she's dating Prince Charming. She ain't about to get back in that bottle. Are you kidding? She's living her best life right now. That was their mistake. Once they did it, there's no going back.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
Why can't they put it back in the bottle? Why? Well, I hear everybody say they can't put it back in the bottle, but nobody can tell me why they can't put it back in the bottle.
Because it would be viewed as anti-player. And everything they're doing right now is pro-player. And they'll have to fight because someone will take them to court.
Here's, won't have a legal leg to stand on.
Well, you might be right. It's interesting. But here's the I'm going to defend the NCAA for just one split second. And I'm not one to defend them because I think for the most part they're a bunch of weirdos. They knew when they fought so hard to hang on to the old model that if you gave an inch, they would take a mile. That there was never going to be a compromise. They knew that if you gave anything at all, they would just keep taking. They would just keep taking. There was no satisfying. You were never going to get in the middle and go, yeah, you know what? We would like this, but we see your points. We'll meet you halfway. That's not the way that operates. And so they fought tooth and nail. And when they finally got to a place where they just went, screw it, take it all. It all happened at one time. I can't remember if it was Eli Drinkwitz is what comes to mind. It was some coach said, the problem is not the transfer portal. The problem is not NIL. The problem is that we just put both of those things in at the exact same time without any guardrails, pushed the car down the mountain and went, good luck. And it's just going super fast. Doesn't have brakes. It doesn't have guardrails. And you're like, gosh, surprised it went over the cliff like that. Why are you surprised that it went over the cliff? What in the world made you think that it was going to go vroom, vroom, vroom down the mountain? Have you ever watched somebody snow ski?
I've tried it.
So when you snow ski, when you snow ski down the mountain, how do you do it? You kind of go side to side, to side, to side.
Unless you can't turn like me.
Or if you or you go down straight like a bat out of hell.
Yeah.
Well, when you go straight out like a bat out of hell, a lot of times people get hurt because they go too fast. They can't control their speed. They go into a tree. I mean, literally, people get hurt, killed doing that. Typically, the person who's going side to side to side to side, hey, they might fall. They can be all right. Get up. They finish. Get back on the lift, go do it again. What we've created now is this system where everybody's just going down the hill, and you can't be surprised when it crashes. In fact, you should expect the crash. And it's why people like me are looking at it, and I have this really negative view of where it's going, and everybody goes, why are you so negative about it? I'm like, because I think I see what I see. And if I'm wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong. I don't think what they're doing right now is going to be appeasing, appetizing is the better word, appetizing
yeah.
to the common right fan there. In 5, 6, 7 years. When a roster turns over, when 50 people of an 85-man roster turn over every year, and that is exactly where we're headed.
Yeah.
When that happens, I think fans are going to look at it and go, this isn't what I grew up liking.
All right, so let me say this, okay? This is what I brought up. I went back and looked at my notes, by the way. I said, when you do this, you're going to have tampering. Tampering is out of control.
Yeah. Okay? You know what I call it? I call it the tampering portal.
Yeah, tampering's out of control.
Yes.
You're having to spend, and people don't understand this. People like to like throw this out the door. And this is where my frustration and why I'm passionate about it is because the people making the rules and the people bitching about this, their limit to recruiting experience and actually sitting in living rooms and building a roster is playing a fucking video game that's 8 years old. That's their limit. They've never put together a roster. They don't understand what goes into it, what goes into culture. They don't understand it because they've never done it. And so we're making rules. These people are making rules, all right? So here's the deal, all right? And I'm being dead serious about this. If you want this fixed, there's one way to fix it because we all are bitching. We've been bitching for a year now about we need regulation. We need this. We need this. And so what we keep doing is we keep putting Band-Aids on bullet wounds. That's what we're doing. We're putting Band-Aids on bullet wounds, but we're not. Sooner or later, if you want to survive, okay, if you want to survive, you got to go have surgery, and you got to go put it back to where it was. Mm-hmm. When you're having a failing company or things aren't going great, okay, I think we would all agree Federal Express is one of the greatest companies out there, okay, built from nothing, whatever, all the way up. Well, guess what? FedEx had to lay off workers this week. Okay, sooner or later, if you want to fix something, you have to put it back to where it was. All right? Keep your NIL. That's the thing. I don't think you're putting that back in the ball. I agree with that one 200%. When it comes, if you want to fix everything else.
NIL's fine.
NIL has been around. Like, people are like, well, NIL wasn't back. You know, you can't set it back because NIL wasn't there. NIL's been there.
Of course.
Okay? It's been there. Let's don't kid ourselves. Here's how you fix it, and it's really simple. No matter what happens, when you transfer, you sit out a year. That stops tampering.
Mm-hmm.
Stops it. You don't have to recruit your own players.
It certainly curtails the hell out of it. Right?
Nobody's. You're not recruiting a kid. You're not tampering with a kid and going to have to pay the kid now NIL-wise to come sit and not
right,
play.
Right, right.
It's going to cut out tampering.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't have to recruit your own players. You can actually build a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Fan apathy, which you just hit, that's coming, boss.
Oh, I think there's already signs of it.
But it's coming hard.
Big time.
Okay? You
Big
cut
time.
That out. Okay? You cut I mean, that think, out.
I've been trying to tell people this, right? This fan apathy thing, people are like, well, there won't be. Everybody's cheers for the laundry.
No, it's coming.
You don't really cheer for the laundry. If you think about it, do you really cheer for the laundry? Let's take the Braves. Okay? Let's take the Braves. I'm not a Braves fan. And when I go to a Braves game, I know who I'm going to see. Right?
Grind, I'm fixing to address you in a minute, Grind. I got something for you.
I know I'm going to see Ozzie Albies. I'm going to see Ronald Acuna. I'm going to see Michael Harris. I know who I'm going to see. Yeah, and there's transactions. There's trades that happen in baseball. And Freddie Freeman opted for free agency, and he's a Dodger now.
Yeah.
Dansby Swanson opted for free agency. He's a Brave now. I mean, a Cub now. Yet when those guys, I guarantee you, when Dansby Swanson takes his first at-bat at, was it Truist Park?
Yes.
In Atlanta, he's going to get a standing ovation. Why? Why is he getting a standing ovation? Because he was there for a year? No, because he was there for 6 years and he was part of something. He won a title. Freddie Freeman got his ring and choked up and cried, and Brian Snitker had to come out and hug him on the damn field. It's different. It's emotional. You're taking, and emotion matters in sports.
Yeah.
Look at Wrigley last year when Wilson Contreras took his last at-bat. Why were the people so emotional about Wilson Contreras? And when he takes his first at-bat as a Cub, as a Cardinal, at Wrigley, he's going to get another standing ovation. A Cardinal is. Why? Because he meant something to those fans because he was there for 7 years, basically.
Yeah.
In the organization for 15.
Yeah.
But he played, he was part of the team that won the World Series. He was part of He, you know what I'm saying?
No, I do. I get it.
When you take that out of sports,
you don't have sport.
You just have games.
Yeah, it's the same problem that XFL's going to have that you don't have you don't have any.
I covered Auburn years ago, and that Auburn team that everybody loved with Ben Leard and Alex Lincoln and Ronnie Daniels and Rudy Johnson and Cole Kubelik and Kendall Simmons and The fact that I can still name all those cats. It's Auburn people love that team. Why? Because they'd been with them. They'd watched them lose. They watched them go through this coaching change where the coach quit in the middle of the year and a new coach came in and they had a bad first season and then they worked their way up and they ended up in Atlanta playing for the SEC championship and people loved them. Rob Pate, those guys. Those guys, 20 years later, still mean something to Auburn people.
Yeah. And here's the thing. All right, so, Grind, I'm going to address you in just a second because I 100% disagree with what you're saying. I'm going to tell you why. All right, so.
What did he say?
Well, he said a bunch of stuff. I'm going to cover in just a second.
All right.
All right, so when you can't build a roster right now because you don't know who's coming and who's going, okay? That's very difficult to do, okay? You're managing and so when I say talk about the transfer portal, okay, if you want to transfer and you're talking about the legality of it, you don't want to be here, you can transfer. You just have to sit out a year. We're not going back 100 years. We're going back 10 years ago. And let me tell you where the legality of it came in because I want to explain this to the fans too, and maybe you may not know this either. I'm just going to explain it to you. When I first started coaching, this was the rule, okay? This is how you transfer. If you transfer down FCS, you're legal. If you transfer FBS or up, you have to sit out a year. If you graduate, that is your free agency. Because here's the other thing lost in this, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. Kids aren't graduating, okay? So if we're about getting a kid's education and all that shit,
yeah,
okay, and we can say we're not, but we are, okay? We are. That's stupid for these kids not to get their degree. But I sat there and had a conversation with a guy today that's running a SEC recruiting department that's talking about guys trying to transfer in and losing 45 and 50 hours. That's stupid, okay? That's almost a full year and a half of classes because they want to transfer, all right? But here's the problem. When you start doing this, now you have kids for 3 years. You can get invested and all that stuff if they want to graduate and go, but most of them are going to go to the NFL if they're that good, all right? But here's what Grind said, and a lot of people are like, well, coaches can leave and can go anytime they want to. Coaches in the NFL get fired all the time.
Coaches are also employees.
Yeah, and exactly.
Coaches you can't are make employees.
You're not making them employees. And people that say that you
there's
can't.
There's buyout clauses on their contracts. Yeah. Coaches are employees.
Josh Allen, if Sean McDermott gets fired or takes the job with the Broncos, Josh Allen's not going with him.
No.
Okay, that's what's happening right now. Okay, Lincoln Riley took the USC job, and Caleb Williams went to USC. That's what's happening right now, and it's going to continue to happen. If Lane Kiffin packed his shit up and went to Auburn back when he was going to go, guess who was going to be the starting running back next year? Quinshon Judkins would have been the starting running back at Auburn. And if you don't believe that, you're fucking lying to yourself. And we all know that. That's the truth.
No, I agree with that.
Okay?
Sure.
So that's got to stop. That's how this is fixed, okay? Grind said, well, these coaches rely too much on the transfer portal. They don't want to go back. That's bullshit because I was on the phone with four of them today.
Yeah.
And they all begging for it. They're begging for it.
I mean, even Lane Kiffin yesterday. Listen, Lane Kiffin yesterday, I heard Ole Miss people going, he's complaining. That's not what I heard. And I've been critical of Kiffin before. So I'm not a Kiffin homer. You've heard me criticize Lane. Yeah. I thought Lane handled the Auburn thing poorly. I thought he handled November poorly. There you go. I criticized. I thought his coaching in the second half of the Arkansas game in Fayetteville was abysmal. I thought he lost two games in one day. There's criticisms of Lane Kiffin. I thought everything he said yesterday was spot on.
He was. And then here's the thing with him. All right, let's take Lane
Kiffin. What I was going to say real quick is here's this guy that's marketing himself, and he's not doing it for his own personal marketing. He's doing it because the kids like the
he's trying to get kids.
Yeah, he called it the Portal King.
He's trying to market. He's trying to build a roster in this crazy world.
The Portal King. I think even the Portal King would tell you this is stupid.
100%. Well, here's the thing, all right?
In fact, he kind of said it yesterday.
Lane Kiffin. Let's take Lane Kiffin for example.
Okay.
This is the other thing that's going to happen. Is he's got to go get all these kids out of the portal, right? What happens when he goes 6-6? He doesn't have a good portal class. Guess what's going to happen to Lane Kiffin? Everybody's going to want to fire his ass. Did that make him less of a coach?
No, and Lane, even yesterday, it got lost because he said it early. But he talked about culture. It's, yeah. Look, Ole Miss, and I have fans that go, why don't you tell it? And I get it. I totally understand that because I'd be burning sources. Ole Miss had real culture problems last season.
Yeah.
And it was.
Everybody does.
And it was portal related. It was NIL related. You added both at the same time.
Yes.
And I get, hey, listen, I agree with you. I'll just believe the NCAA going, okay, you know what? We went too far. I'm going to believe it when I see it.
That's the problem, right? Because doing this is going to say, hey, we made a mistake. All right.
Well it's not only that, I don't think that's the part that's hard for them. I think the part that's hard for them is not to go, you know what, we went too far. I think the part that's hard for them is going, this is going to draw criticism. Because the left, I'm going to make this conservative liberal for a minute, liberals are going to lose their freaking mind. They're going to say, you're taking rights away from the players. You are restricting their earning ability.
But you're not.
But that's what's coming, and they want no part of that.
If you want to transfer, transfer. But that's what I'm saying, is you're not restricting.
But Tyler, are you paying attention?
Yes.
They're not. There's no sign at all that the NCAA has any appetite at all for getting beat up.
I get that, but you don't have the right. It's not a right to go play college football. It's not a right to go
know.
Do it. No, it's not.
I mean, I'll
argue with that one.
But I'm with you. But I'm just telling. I'm not telling you what Neil McCready thinks.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what I think the NCAA looks at it and goes, we're not prepared to take this media beating that's coming their way.
And that's the problem. You don't need to be. Because
the media is going to kill them.
If you can't make tough decisions,
sure,
okay,
of course.
You don't need to be in that position.
Sure.
If you can't make those tough decisions, you shouldn't be in that position. And all this pushback, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. And everybody's like, they can't do that. That's bullshit. They can do it because they've done it. And let me tell you I skipped over this a minute ago because I got going. I'm pissed off about it. This all started about 13 years ago is the first one I can remember. This legal thing where lawyer up, this all happened with this. This is where the NCAA fucked it all up. It started about 10, 13 years ago where these kids were used to, everything was hunky-dory forever in the history of college football. Everything was hunky-dory. Transfer rules were exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about making up a transfer rule. I'm just talking about doing it the way it was done. And so somebody said, I want to transfer back because my grandmother's sick. All right. They had a real reason they want to transfer back. So the NCAA granted them immediate eligibility because they needed to go home closer to home for whatever reason, right?
Okay, sure.
Well, then all of a sudden, everybody's like, damn, they just gave that kid immediate eligibility. Let's say people started fabricating stories of people like in your home state or coming back closer to home. People started fabricating stories, and the NCAA would say, nope, you're not eligible. Yep, you are. Nope, you are. And they were picking, I'm talking about like 10 miles difference. And so people started lawyering up and saying, you've already got precedent. This is not precedent. Okay, these are the rules. This is what we're doing under no circumstance. And you know what? If you maybe you should like investigate.
Guys are going to lawyer up now.
They can lawyer up all they fucking want to. And there's nothing they can do about it if you don't do any. This is what the rule is.
You have to have a hard and fast rule that you never.
You can't. That was my whole deal.
Have no exceptions.
When I talk to the NCAA, that's why I get frustrated.
They're not going
to
do it.
Because I told them, this is what you have to do.
Not going
to
do it.
But if that's what the rule, that's when the lawyering up came from.
I understand.
And then Ole Miss was involved in the last one because I brought it up as an example. When Ole Miss went through the NCAA stuff and they let all the kids leave here for immediate eligibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many fucking programs turn in violations every year? Every fucking one of them. Now, some of them don't go public, but every program turns in 40, 50 violations a year. So now the kids are lawyering up and saying, hey, you let them Ole Miss guys leave and go play at Michigan and in Central Florida and Houston and all that. You got violations at our school. We're afraid they're going to get put on probation. Let me leave. Lawyer up, gone. The simple rule is this. You go back to what it was 20 years ago. It fixes everything. It literally fixes everything. And because the other thing that's going on right now, which we've talked about all these things in the past, but high school kids aren't getting signed. I had a conversation with a high school coach in Mississippi on whatever day the basketball game was. I was actually walking in the game.
Tuesday,
night before signing day. He has a receiver there that's an SEC receiver. He is, all day long. He's got like 2 FCS offers. That's all he's got.
I probably know the school, yeah.
All right, he's got 2. Mm-hmm. Guy's a baller.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to advise, hey, I would send the kid to junior college for a year because he's not going to transfer out if he doesn't have film. Nobody's going to take him with the new roles. And where I get frustrated.
And if you send him somewhere as an invited walk-on or whatnot, he's just.
He's a number.
He's just a number. He's a piece of meat. He's not going to get the attention, et cetera.
But where I get frustrated more than anything is this is not a hard fix. It's legal. There's nothing they can do about it. And look, if you don't want to follow by these rules, don't fucking play. Okay? Don't fucking play. This is not a right to do this. It's not. You don't have the right to go play college football.
Well, no, that's true.
Okay.
Right. I couldn't just go sign up and play.
When you sign a national letter of intent, okay, the intent, the whole point of the drill is during recruiting is to make sure this is a great fit for me and my future.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say, hey, if I don't like this coach, I'm out of here. Because let me tell you the other thing we're doing here. All right. I'm hot on this.
I know
one.
You are.
I'm passionate about this because I fucking understand it, and it pisses me off when people ain't got a fucking clue what they're talking about.
Remind me to put the E by this.
Well, it pisses me off, man, because they don't know shit, and let's just throw this on the wall and see if it sticks. Hey, let's do this. You're not fixing shit. You're just making more problems. You're not fixing anything.
It's because the fix is tough love, and I'm telling you, man, that's not what they're willing to do right now.
But that's
because they're so scared that Tom Mars or someone is going to lawyer up.
Fuck Tom Mars.
I'm just telling
you. I know you, Tom. I'm sure you're a great guy, but I don't know about what you're doing.
They're so afraid that he represented like Shea Patterson and some of those guys. They're so afraid that someone like him is going to lawyer up, and he's going to take them to court, and they're going to lose, and they hate.
But they can't lose.
They hate the idea of losing.
But they can't lose. If it's the same thing.
I'm explaining to you what they think.
Because there was precedent before.
And the only way they're ever going to do it
is
if some of these coaches who are saying this privately say it publicly. And if a coach says it publicly, he's terrified that that's going to make him where no one's going to want to come play for him because he's going to be viewed as anti-player. At some point, someone's going to have – it's why someone suggested in my mailbag about Nick Saban. Like Nick Saban stepping away from Alabama and becoming the college football czar and saying these things out loud might actually lead to some traction.
If he becomes the college football czar, watch for your boy to go be the recruiting czar. Fix this shit.
But you understand my point. It's going to take a voice like that.
We may not be doing the show much anymore, but we'll get recruiting fixed. It's just, but that's the part that pisses me off is the people making the rules don't have a fucking clue what they're talking about. They don't. They'd be like me going and making regulations for heart surgery.
Well, they've certainly never.
I've watched ER. I mean, why can't I make? That's literally how I feel. I've watched ER.
Sure.
Why can't I go make recommendations for heart surgery?
It's a great point. The people that are making these rules have never been on a coaching staff.
They've never been in a living room.
They've never recruited.
Never put a roster together.
Right.
They've never done anything.
Well, right now, I don't know how any. I mean, I asked Lane Kiffin a question yesterday, and he gave me what I thought was a great answer. And I've had people push back and go, "He didn't answer, and you didn't press." I asked him. I said, "How do you?"
I watched it.
How do you, you know, kind of figure out any idea what number you're looking at in the spring? And he's like, "No,
he doesn't know."
And
none of them do.
It was an honest answer. He's like, "Look, I mean, we're going to have surprises. There's going to be guys that walk into the building or just leave. That guys just." Check out.
And Grind says, if coaches didn't want to win so bad, then players wouldn't get tampered with. It's survival.
Oh, you have to tamper right now.
It's survival. You can only go with what the rules are. I get like.
Yeah. I mean, every coach is tampering. Coaches who hate tampering are tampering. Everyone's just, tampering.
It's so.
You have to tamper.
And here's the thing, too, is people think that, you know, well, this is not, you know, fair to the kids. The hell isn't fair to the kids. As long as they're getting paid, they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. Let them get paid. Okay? They've been getting paid for years anyway.
Right.
Now they're getting legally paid or above the table. I guess that is your transparency. It's a lot more transparent than it used to be.
Some of them are still getting under the table. But my point is if you're getting $600,000, put that in print.
Yeah. It's more transparent than it used to be.
You're making $600,000.
But I just don't – this is a very easy fix. You got to have the fucking nuts to do it. It's not hard. This is an easy fix. And guess – you know how many coaches will be against it, by the way? Zero.
Oh, I know that.
And you know how many presidents would be against it? Zero.
How many coaches would come out publicly and say they were for it?
If they asked about it, I bet 100%.
Oh, see, I don't think so.
Who would say they wouldn't for it? Why wouldn't they be for it?
Publicly.
Why wouldn't they be for it?
Because if you come out and say, because the kids are going to lose their minds.
But that's
so
what
when
I'm
you
is,
say that, when you come out and you go, yeah, you know what? I think there should be limitations on their ability to transfer. I think they should be able to transfer, but if you transfer, you have to sit a year. I think kids will push back hard. I know they will. Because right now, where they've opened this door, and Kiffin said this yesterday, he's right. Kids now are going, you know what? I'm going to go to this place. It's probably not the best fit for me. But I'm going to go. I'm going to get, because they offered me the big bag. I'm going to go. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to bolt. I'll go someplace else and see if I can get a bigger bag. And that's what they're doing. And so
I'm glad you brought that up. Keep going. I want to say something on that.
So that affects, that impacts the your ability to build a roster, your ability to build any kind of a culture, your ability to do any. I mean, look, there's a handful of programs, like maybe 3-4 that are sort of above this right now. But like Alabama put out a big thing today about NIL. I mean, they're like all in on, yeah, we got to do this thing.
Pay them.
Yeah. It's, again, I go back to the group, and it's funny that I'm like becoming the voice of the fan because I'm the furthest thing in the world from it, right? I mean, like if I got out of journalism, I don't know how much college football I'd watch. But no one's even thinking about the fan. You're asking the fan, hey, pay more for tickets. Oh, help us pay for the players. Oh, and the roster's going to flip over so many times that the players we're asking you to play for, they're probably not going to be here next year. And then next year, help us pay for more players. They go, at some point, the fan goes, nah, I'm good. Especially the casual fan.
Yeah,
they're killing
themselves.
The guy who just goes, hey, you know what I like about college football is I take my kids back to the alma mater. And we go see some friends, have some chicken fingers, have a beer. Kids have a couple of juice boxes. We go cheer, get a pom-pom, get a sweatshirt, and head home.
Grind, that guy, I'm trying to type something, Grind, but what I was saying is you can transfer down or sit out, just like it's been done for the 153 years that football's been around.
Yeah, it's not saying, I mean, to defend you here, it's not saying that the kid that goes,
I'm not making shit up.
Say the kid that signs with Iowa State, and he gets to Iowa State, and a year in, he goes, this just isn't a good fit for me.
Transfer.
And you know what? I made a mistake. I should have gone to Kansas. That's where I liked.
Yeah.
And Kansas still has a spot for you. You can transfer to Kansas on scholarship and sit a year.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, two things. One, you really wanted to do it. You really wanted to do it. And two, you're going to be on scholarship at Kansas for a year without being able to play. So they really want you. And so the odds are that's going to kind of work out.
Yeah.
The odds are that's going to work out.
Because if they take you, they're invested in you too.
Because they're saying, hey, you know what? We like you so much, Johnny, that we'll bring you in and put you on scholarship and put you in our program and put you in our building. And all those things, even though you can't help us on the field next year. You can't help us against Oklahoma State because you're not going to be able to play. But we believe that in 2 years, you're going to be a big part of what we're doing.
Yeah. And Grind says this, so a kid can't transfer from Florida to Georgia if Napier gets fired without sitting. No, he cannot, because this is why. In the NFL, if Cliff Kingsbury, which he just got fired, if he gets the offensive coordinator, I'm just making shit up now. If he took the offensive coordinator job at the Cowboys, Kyler Murray can't go with him.
Right.
Okay, because we're talking about, we're paying players now. Okay, so this is their contract. Okay, you're investing money and capital, and it's expensive.
So what do you think about the idea? And look, I know it's stupid. It's not going to happen because it's the agreements with the collectives can clearly be broken on both sides. The idea of a player coming in and signing a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal where he's committed.
No, I don't agree with that. I think it's you make your deal whatever your deal is.
And it doesn't work because look, the only way you do that is you have to make the players employees. And people say, well, they do it at the pro level. Yes, they do. They collectively bargain. How would you possibly collectively bargain in college football?
Well, that's my point.
Because there's a completely different, like if you play for the Falcons. If I play for the Falcons and you play for the Rams, okay? Yeah, there are differences. But we basically operate under the same rules.
Yeah.
We have the same cap. We have the same rules. As a player, I'm on the same rookie scale deal as a rookie with the Falcons as you are with the Rams. We go through the same progression. And when we both reach free agency, we're negotiating with the same block of 32 teams. You can't do that in college football, right? Not today. Now, maybe there's a, like Chase said this morning on the Action Excellence podcast, maybe there's a world where the Big Ten and the SEC band up and go, we're going to operate differently. We're going to form our own group, College Football Union of America, and our players are going to unionize, and we're going to collectively bargain a revenue sharing, and we'll work it out. But void of that, And we're nowhere close to that. But void of that, there's no way to collectively bargain. And so there's no way to make them employees.
No, you can't do that. That's wishful thinking. But so, that's the kind of rules that they've been making because they keep trying to put Band-Aids on things, right? Oh, well, let's do this and not do that. This is one simple rule.
Oh, see, I don't even think they're putting Band-Aids on it. Like,
well, I'm talking about 25.
To your analogy, they're looking at the bullet wound and going, well, you know, if you just leave it alone for a minute, it'll scab over.
Well, like the no 80, I'm talking about like little rules, like the no 25. Sure. Those are the Band-Aids.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, the bottom line is that
they keep tinkering it without fixing the fucking problem.
I think what they're basically doing is they're just kind of turning their head to it. Like, I know there's a wound there, but I don't want to look at it.
My thing's in caps locks. I'm not screaming. But here's the thing is grinding. Somebody else said one true free transfer. Okay. One free transfer has been around a long time, but it was in other sports, right? Like baseball and things like that. They could have been doing this a long time. But the deal is,
well, those weren't full equivalency sports.
There you go. They're not full equivalency sports. And nobody, I mean, look. Okay, here's the problem.
I mean, like the baseball player,
for example.
How many
baseball players are getting paid $2 million to go fucking transfer?
Well, I mean, none.
Okay, so, but how many football players would?
Several. Okay. It's happening now.
It's the difference where the money is located. You can do it in other sports.
But I mean,
baseball,
for example, even the really, really good ones, like Gonzalez at Ole Miss, he's not on a full scholarship.
Yeah.
He's probably like 50 or something. I mean, you know what I mean? So right. It's not... Most
that rule's been around a long time.
Most baseball players are operating on about 25 to 33% scholarship. So it's not full equivalency. So you don't really kind of, it's a different deal.
That's been around a long time. But you brought up a good point. I want to say this too. Okay. I know I'm pissed off. We could do a 10-hour podcast and shit. I'm trying to finish up. But one big thing about this that's getting lost in everything, and I'm being dead serious about this, is the life lessons. All right.
Hold on, Grind. You're wrong. You're wrong. He says now we're handicapping some poor kid that plays at UTEP and wants to transfer to UAB to be closer to home. No, you're not. You're not.
He can transfer anytime he wants to.
If UAB wants him,
he just has to sit a year.
He just can't play for a year.
Which is the way it was for every year in the history of college football.
And then further,
except for the last two.
Further, if
when this all became a problem, shocker.
You could transfer and pay your own way for a year.
Whatever you want to do.
You could transfer and sit out a year.
Yeah, but
you just can't play for a year.
And everybody's like, well, you know, but that's the point, is there has to be something to, and this, by doing this, you fix tampering. You fix recruiting your own roster. You fix your roster management. You fix the lack of opportunity for high school kids. You fix your locker room chemistry. There's going to be locker room chemistry here at Ole Miss, whether you like it or you don't, because you don't have to worry about bringing kids on top of it.
Of course.
Fan apathy, graduation rates. And the most important thing is life lessons, okay? These kids don't want to fucking compete anymore.
I mean, if it's happening at Ole Miss, it's happening everywhere. There are guys that are going into spring with kind of an attitude of, I know this, okay? And I want to see what this looks like.
But you can't, that's just, you
I,
can't.
I want to see what this looks like.
Like,
I
mean, part of like.
Contributors.
And I will say this 100 times, okay? I would consider myself an above average successful adult. Above average, not elite, just above average.
Okay.
Okay. Every fucking life lesson I learned took place when I was playing college football. Every one of them. Hard work,
mm-hmm.
competing,
mm-hmm.
learning that, hey, you know what? You're not as talented as those guys. You're probably going to have to work a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
You go back, and I listened to your show this morning, by the way. And
so you were the one. Thanks.
I was the one guy listening. You go back and you look at people, very few people, like Eli Manning, it took him 3 years to play.
Yeah, took him two, but I mean, yeah, played in his third year, sure.
Took him time. You take people like, you know, one of my favorites, success stories, Alex Lincoln was a walk-on at Auburn
mm-hmm.
When I was there. It's not a right. You have to earn it. And in the real world, like this thing we call the real world, which is what we're supposed to be preparing these kids for.
Sure.
All right. It's all about presentation and competition. Because if you got a cool mousetrap, guess what the competitor is going to try to do? He's going to try to repeat. Yeah, you got to compete, man.
Yeah, sure.
You got to do things. You got to morph. You got to evolve. It's cell phones, man. Okay. The StarTech flip phone was the coolest shit in 2004. Okay. Now we got this iPhone 13. There's going to be a 14, 15, 16, 17. You got to keep improving and you got to keep working. And these kids that are going places and going, man, I'm the freshman. Not starting, not playing. hey, you know what? Let me go transfer, go somewhere, make it, go hit the easy button. Let me go transfer where I can play. Well, guess what? When your shit's easy for you like that, you're not going to be successful. Because when you go, if you're a really good football player and you get to Sundays, they're not going to give a shit. They're going to cut your ass because you're not prepared. You don't understand. If you go in the workforce, you're going to get your ass fired because things aren't given to you. And going back to these NIL deals, a lot of these kids got these big NIL deals, and if they just fucking work, they could make a lot more money. But they don't even want to work for the things. Some guy come, hey, can you come over here and do this or this and this and this, this, of course? We'll give you, I'd rather just take my $200 guaranteed from the collective, and that's enough money. I don't have to go work. There's so much more money out there they could go make. They don't want to work for it. You have to learn how to work and compete for your position. Competition breeds success. I don't care what they say. And we can sit here and talk about all this stuff, and everybody's got all these great ideas. Oh, we can't do this. We can't do that. Well, all I know is this. Everybody on this fucking planet is talking about how to fix this thing. But they don't have a fucking solution. They'll say something, but it doesn't fix anything.
Well, I think they listen to what you're saying, and they say what I'm saying, which is, and look, don't get me wrong, I agree with you. Okay,
I agree with you.
You know that I agree with you. That being said, I don't think they have the stomach for it. I really don't.
Who?
The NCAA.
Well, if they don't,
I don't.
If they don't. I'm just telling you right now.
Because what they're gambling on is this.
There's nothing getting better.
Here's what they're gambling
on. Or you want to fix it or you don't.
Here's what they're gambling on. The NCAA is gambling. College football is gambling. These college athletics programs are gambling. That people love it so much. Because what they point to right now is they go, hey, you guys, what are you talking about? The ratings have never been higher. And you're like, man, the tree doesn't die at the top. The tree dies at the roots.
Yeah.
You don't see the roots.
I heard your Tumor's Corner expression this morning. And made me saddened, by the way. I had a little tear come to my eye.
And by the time you realize
I'm a part of the cult.
By the time you realize the tree is dead, it's been dead for a long time.
Yeah. You kept holding out hope though, because she still sprung a couple of leaves there for a couple of years, but she was dying.
You're like, you think that tree's gonna be okay?
It's just not the same with the wires being there anymore.
And everybody would just kind of close their eyes and go, yeah, I think it's all right. That's what would have happened.
Well, I feel like that's what we're doing.
It is.
You know,
and it's, hey.
And look, I know what I'm
Tyler,
saying.
Tyler, these are major cash cows. This is the part that's interesting with me with athletics, is these college football programs keep throwing more and more and more money into college football. More and more money. And I'm like, hey, you guys, are you paying attention to the grassroots of this sport? The answer's no. They're not. They're not, because they don't want to see it. They don't want to talk about it. I think I know what I'm looking at. I'm on the record doing this. So if in 20 years college football's current rules and is super duper healthy, I'm going to look and sound like an idiot, and I'll own it if I'm still around.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm wrong.
And here's the thing, and I want to make this point clear.
We got to roll.
I know. I know there's a lot of people that disagree with what I'm saying. I do understand that. But I ask you to understand this. If you disagree with what I'm saying, I ask you to understand this. Okay, I've done this shit for a fucking minute now.
I know you have.
I have a pretty successful business doing this shit. I don't go out and damn work in a factory and come on and do a podcast. Like, I actually do this shit for a living. Been doing it for a minute. Have a small fucking idea what I'm talking about.
Well, you talk to a lot of people, too.
Okay. Number two is this. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you, everybody wants to talk about, oh, let's do this. Well, you're not fixing the problems. Okay. If you want to be at the top and you want to sit at the big chair, when you sit at the big chair, you have to make decisions.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of those solutions to those problems are not going to be popular.
You just nailed the word that was going through my head.
Okay. They're not going to be popular, but if you got the fucking nuts to do it, okay, and you want to fix the problem, it's not going to be easy.
No.
If the solution was easy.
You're not going to win Mr. Popularity.
Yeah, if the solution was easy, it already been done.
Yeah.
Okay. Some guy sitting up there in Indianapolis would go and flip the coin and the solution would be great.
No, they're going to rip. Look, whoever does this. Whoever comes out and goes, this is the only way to fix this, is to reverse some of what's happened. The only way to do it is to put the damn vehicle in reverse and go back and go, okay, hold on. Let's go back to here.
You got to put it back the way it was.
Whoever does that, whatever group, whatever entity, whatever person, is going to take a flogging. A flogging.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to get caned.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to understand that. And listen, You know this, in today's world, that is hard to do.
I understand. That's why I don't have a problem with
it. I know.
That.
But
okay?
I
give
get
me
it.
Some fucking stroke. I'll get the shit fixed in 10 minutes. Because I can already tell you a date. I've been thinking about this shit a long time, if you can't tell. You say August 1st of 2024. Okay? So now you give the coaches, because this is the other thing they do that they don't understand. So if you are listening to this podcast, which I do know the NCAA does listen, by the way. I'll tell you that later. They do listen.
Is NCAA Emily's not still there anymore.
No, it's not Emily. Yeah. All right. But here's the thing is you say August the 1st, 2024, okay. Because it gives the coaches time to get their plan together to build the roster. You can't decide 2 weeks before signing day that you're going to do this and they don't have any high school kids committed. They can go recruit high school kids and build. And by August the 1st, 2024, this rule goes in effect. So that gives everybody this year, grind, if you want to fucking go from UTEP to UAB, you got one fucking year to do it, boss, because after that, you're locked in. You give them advance warning
sure. That
this is what's going to happen on August the 1st, 2024.
And you have a year of chaos, and then it settles down.
Yeah, and if you want to fucking leave, if you don't like where you're at, you better get gone.
Right.
Because on August the 1st, 2024, we're doing this.
Right.
Moving forward.
Right.
And then that gives the coaches time to go recruit the 24 class and build the roster the way they want to. And if they need to go get some portal guys, you get on the back end, whatever you need to do. It gives you a full year to go in there and get your shit right.
Because I thought Lane's answer to the question that I asked him, and again, we're going way too long. I thought Lane's answer to my question, the first question I asked was, how do you determine high school versus saving a spot for the portal? How do you do that?
You can't. You don't
and
know.
His answer was great. It was like, well... It's kind of hard. You know, you got to decide, is this a kid that's going to transfer? Is this a kid that's going to – you got to evaluate a lot of things because you bring a kid in and then he transfers after a year and that's a spot that you didn't – he basically said at a place like – look, at Ole Miss, let's – we're talking about Ole Miss for a minute.
Yeah.
No, Ole Miss is not Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Texas A&M on the NIL ladder. They're not.
But it's the next rung.
But they're the very next rung.
Yeah.
They're not. They're also not Louisiana Tech.
No.
And Central Michigan.
They're next wrong.
They're in a pretty big.
A good spot.
A good spot.
Really good spot in comparative.
And they look at it and go, it's kind of almost impossible to build a roster. It's almost impossible to manage a roster. It's almost impossible to do what it is that we need to do. And so he knows. Like, I know he's doing Portal King stuff. And I know
they all know.
He knows this isn't what he's doing from a roster building standpoint, from a chemistry building standpoint. He knows it's got every chance in the world to just blow up.
You're literally rolling the dice.
He knows it, right? He knows it.
And that's every coach,
and,
too.
And, yeah, I mean, like, they're like again, Kirby can be like, I'm not doing it this way.
Because they don't have to.
Sarkisian can go, I don't have to do it this way, thank God.
Because they already had a base to build. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
But you understand my point. Yeah. There just aren't many, and so you're
it's like 10 schools.
And hey, look, there's nothing stopping Quinn. He mentioned Quinshon Judkins 20 times yesterday. Very much on his mind. What does that mean? He knows what's happened with Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah.
He gets up every day.
Every SEC every SEC head coach, everybody talks about their signing day and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Every SEC head coach in America, their favorite day of the calendar is February the 1st.
When the portal closes.
For the SEC. They can't transfer SEC to SEC. Right. As long as they make it through February 1st, SEC coaches are good.
But he doesn't know if that's going to be the day that the Clemson collective or the Ohio State collective offers him twice what he's making. And he walks in and goes, hey, coach, I got to go. See ya.
Hey, we got to go. But the last thing I want to say to you about this, and I want you to talk about, because I won't talk about this again until we talk about it next time.
Okay.
You know how you say, you know, the lawyer up and this and that?
Mm-hmm.
The SEC, everybody's like, oh, you can't do that. But you can. The SEC
they
has
did
separate rules
yeah,
from no, the NCAA.
It. They did it. I know.
And so they have this February 1st. How many people have, let me ask you a question. How many people have sued the SEC over not transferring the SEC to SEC?
Well, nobody, because they were all for it.
My point. So when you have the master entity saying these are the rules, okay, you can't lawyer up if that's the rule. Maybe that Greg Sankey needs to take his ass to – Greg, take your ass to Indianapolis and make the rules. Greg's fucking great.
He is. He's a genius.
He's the best one ever.
Yeah.
Go to Indianapolis. Like, the SEC already does it.
Well, that's – I mean, in all seriousness.
On a bunch of rules.
In all seriousness, what has to happen, frankly, is the Greg Sankeys of the world, the commissioners of the – Power Four.
Make the rules.
They've got to get together and go, this is what has to happen, and go to Indianapolis and sit down with whoever's in charge. I don't know who
they just hired a new one.
And go, hey, this is what we want. Do it. You'll have our support. You'll have our full-throated support. You'll have our public support. It can't be It can't be. Here's my point to you, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Because the Athletic, Ross Dellinger, who's great at what he does, Andy Staples, who's great at what he does,
yep.
They know all these guys. They can get them on the phone faster than you can.
Yep.
They get them on the phone, and they can get 30 of them. And they're good enough journalists to never out their sources.
Correct.
They can get 30 of them privately to go, yeah, we'd be all for it. Privately won't get this done.
Correct.
Anonymous sources won't move the needle on this. Because what's going to happen is someone like me is going to have to do my job. When Andy writes that story, 30 coaches anonymously said, I've got to, the next time we have a press conference with Lane Kiffin, I've got to say, hey, Lane, there was a story in Sports Illustrated, The Athletic, quoting 30 anonymous sources. Were you one of those? And he's going to say, I'm not. Okay, well, now that you're not, what is your thought on that? And he's going to stumble around it. And it's gonna and so is everybody else, right? So is Kirk Ferentz and everybody else. And it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's the only way that any of that kind of stuff happens where coaches have to publicly go, yeah, this doesn't work like this. We're for the kids getting paid, but this doesn't work like this. It doesn't work. Like, yeah, even yesterday, and Lane got really close yesterday. I mean, to his credit.
You can do that when you got a $9 million contract.
You can, but Lane got really close to the fire yesterday by going, this is a really flawed system. Like, this is it's almost like Lane had been listening to the Oxford Exxon podcast, except I know a lot of people smarter than me have been saying this too, which is you've created this. It's not pro sports. It's not pro sports, because if you look at pro sports, and I watch a lot of pro sports, right? The Bengals. Joe Burrow's on a rookie scale deal. Now, the Bengals could play with fire next year and go, hey, you know what? You're still on a rookie scale deal. We're only going to pay you $1.1 million. He's like, okay, peace out in a year. I'm going to go to the Packers for $60. No, they're going to go to him and go, okay, I know you want $52. Could we do $40? We're going to restructure your contract. There's going to be a contract. He's an employee. It's going to have this much guaranteed and this much over this, and we can defer this. And right? Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid by the Mets because he did the deferral thing.
Smart.
Yeah, sure. But you can't do that stuff if they're not employees.
Correct.
And so you can't keep calling it professional sports if it's not professional sports. So stop calling it that. And to his credit, he kind of said that yesterday.
Yeah.
And other guys are going to have to start saying, and when the question is, well, how do you fix it? Someone's got to have but you don't recruit kids. You don't go recruit those kids. And someone who does go recruit those kids has to go, we got to change this transfer rule.
The reason I do think it, if they would just, you're right, you're 100% correct, by the way. If they would get full support, especially from the other conferences.
Sure.
Because of the academic implications. We could talk about, we don't have time. The academic implications that this would help would be phenomenal. So,
We'll finish. Look at the nice doggies. Nice dogs.
Those are nice dogs.
They look happy.
They look happy.
Good boys. You know, those are good boys right there. You can tell.
You know what I did today? I unleashed the beast, Bob, and I didn't have a beer. If I'd been drinking on this podcast, that'd have been awesome. We had a couple IPAs on this one. It got dangerous. I didn't drop but like 3 F-bombs, right? I may have set a record.
In like 5 minutes.
You think I need to call my mom, tell her this is not what she needs to listen to?
Yeah, please.
She's going to be pissed.
Because I mean, having met your mom over
she's
the
phone. So sweet.
Yeah, she's written. No, please, yeah. do that.
Yeah.
Say, Mom.
It's probably not one.
Just stay away from
You know
this
what,
one.
Though? My dad does a good job. My dad listens. I think he listens live. He tells her it's probably not a good episode for you to listen to. She gets pissed. But.
Yeah, you need to tell her. Tell him to tell her nope.
Yeah. I apologize to everybody for my long rant. I'm very passionate about this subject, if you can't tell. It's one of the most passionate subjects I'm about.
Clearly.
But
longest McCrady and Siski ever, so we'll stop there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Reminder, we've been brought to you by our friends at Reign Total Body Fuel. 300 milligrams of natural caffeine.
It works.
BCAAs, electrolytes, zero sugar. It's got what you need to push the limits and achieve your goals. So check them out on
Instagram.
Like
and subscribe, please.
At Reign Body Fuel to learn more. Again, Reign.
Hit the like button.
Body Fuel to learn more. Highly recommend the Cherry Lime.
Yeah, go excellent. Buy out all the Reigns. Buy two, get one free at Kroger, by the way. Buy two, get one free at Kroger.
There you go.
Go buy out every Reign they have there. They got a lot of cherry limeade. I saw that today. I was like, yeah.
There you go.
They've done a good job, but I want to thank you. All the Monster guys are awesome. Thank you.
So until Monday, we'll be back with you Monday. We'll talk about Tyler's FCC warning that he got in the mail Friday and and whatever else might come up. Until then, have a great weekend out there. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being part of the stream. We certainly appreciate all of you. Until next time, take care.